Rate smashing this.
Hello and well.
Sorry. You jinxed it.
Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show, The Vampire Diaries. I'm Catherine, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Ellie.
Hello, hello.
And then, God, she loves onions. Alice is here.
Oh, a delicious food. Anyone who doesn't like onions is mad.
Today we are talking about season 1 episode 16, There Goes the Neighborhood, which first aired on the 1st of April 2010. The episode was written by Brian O and Andrew Chambliss and directed by Kevin Bray. Now, Brian O goes on to write a number of Vampire Diaries episodes, some of our absolute favourites, Miss Mystic Falls and Founder's Day, which we haven't got to yet, but very excited about. He also wrote an episode of The OC, Ellie.
Shut the front door. Which one?
He wrote season 1, episode 11, Homecoming.
Oh, when you said season 1, I thought it was going to be The Countdown. I'd get really excited, but it's still exciting.
Maybe the Countdown person will write an episode. I don't know.
Who knows? I'll lose my mind.
So we've got our OC reference early today.
How exciting.
On today's episode, The Vampire Diaries remembers that it's meant to be a show about high school students as Elena and Stefan go on an awkward double date with Matt and Caroline while their respective adults get smashed in the grill.
The grill. Of course it's the grill.
I don't understand why adults want to hang out at the grill when they know that that's where all the teenagers are, particularly when it's always the adults like day drinking or getting like really drunk. Why do they want to be there?
I just don't understand how Mystic Falls cannot sustain two venues. Like, I'm from not a very big town, plethora of bars to choose from.
But you always want, you do want a different vibe sometimes. Like, the grill can't have it all, but apparently it does.
It does. It does, though. Any breakfast at the grill, a party at the grill, getting absolutely hammered.
Karaoke.
Karaoke at the... Yeah, where were they doing karaoke? That's a really
the grill.
Good
it was the grill.
But, like, where in the grill? Because, like, sure, because sometimes there's, like, there's music when they're, like, sitting down and, like... So there's not random people doing karaoke, but I assume it's open to all at any time because Bonnie suggests it as a first date activity.
That's a good point. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Stop your food, guys. I'm getting on the...
Well, because I've been to a pub that does karaoke, and let me tell you, it's not a fun time to just go when it's like a normal pub, because like the one near my parents' house, I love as just a normal pub. And I went one night with my boyfriend and it was karaoke. And it was really weird because it's just like strangers and you don't know anyone. So that can't be what's happening at the grill.
My friend on Saturday was really trying to get me to do karaoke and I was like, no, it's not happening. There's only two of us. I need a few more people.
Yeah. See, right. And this is your really, a really good friend. Like Bonnie suggests it as a first date for two people. Like I don't.
No.
But also he can sing, which is why I was like, absolutely not. Can't have you being amazing and then me being terrible.
You needed Party in the USA. That.
Oh, yeah.
That one Miley song.
That one Miley song.
Stefan would be there with you. He'd be loving it.
So putting aside our complaints about the grip. We have one of the major plots of this episode is, Anna's school for wayward vampires while she teaches them how to deal with the modern day. And we get kind of a glimpse into what's happened to all the tomb vampires.
Yeah. They've been watching the same TV show on repeat, apparently.
Because they can't work out a remote control.
I do kind of enjoy that some of the kind of tomb vampire drama is literally that they don't understand mobiles and TV. Like, I know there's awful stuff too, but I quite like that some of the minutiae of like, stop watching the same show. This is what texting is.
Yeah, and they've got like an in-person hairdresser. Someone's getting their hair cut. It's like Anna's walking through and it's like, who's styling them? Who are they getting as their
stylist? Who is the Miss Mystic Falls stylist?
Yeah.
I wish there was a fun montage of the tomb vampires in modern clothes.
Oh,
and
my
like,
gosh, yeah, a little makeover montage.
That would have been amazing. Right. Well, I wish we could have done that. That would have been so good.
Also within, it's not just like them adapting to modern day. We've talked a lot about like the ethics of feeding as a vampire, and you kind of see even between vampires that drink human blood, the difference they how they feel about it, because Anna is very upset that Frederick is feeding on, what's the housekeeper called?
Miss Gibbons.
And she's clearly, you know, not happy about that. So even vampires have like different views on it themselves.
Yeah, because she wants Miss Gibbons to go like have a rest. And Frederick's like, no, she's fine. But I think this is also a very similar point to what we were talking about last episode with Harper and like the things that he has to come to terms with coming out of the tomb. And I think you can see it in Frederick, where he's just come out at a time, he's come from a time where it was like men were the dominant force and always listened to, and women were very subservient.
Good and I point. Think yeah, I didn't think
you
that.
See it a lot. Well, he's also just like a clearly dick alpha male, but I think it's like coming from a time where like men were listened to more, or like just they were seen as the patriarch, and everyone had to kind of like pay attention to their point of view and the plans that they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he also, because we talked last episode about Harper and whether or not he was a slave or not, but he calls Harper boy, which I think is a very racially charged thing to do to like a grown black man. So clearly on top of like the women thing, maybe he also has other ideas about people of different races and stuff. So you are right that is playing into it.
And it really just goes to show that he's just an awful, awful character. And Harper stands up to him, and he's just like, watch, I love Harper. Sorry, I will go on.
Harper is endearing in this episode.
Harper and Pearl, I think, are the standouts for me in this episode.
Oh, what an icon.
So stunning.
Yeah, and you can see her just really asserting her control. So she, like, midway through the episode, goes to visit Damon to get his help. And you can see Damon trying to be, like, sarky and witty, and she is having none of it. Like, he goes to kind of attack her, I guess, is the word. I don't know what he's really aiming for, but when Lena tried to slap Damon and nothing happened... That's what happens with Damon when he tries to throttle Pearl. Nothing happens. Yeah, and then she pokes out his eyes.
Oh my god.
Ouch.
She's a badass. You just don't mess with Pearl.
It's interesting though to see, and obviously to the tomb vampires, it was yesterday that they were kind of put in a tomb and all the founders of Mystic Falls had turned against them. So it's interesting to kind of see that play out in the modern day, where Damon's like, that was ages ago, and the tomb vampires still kind of weren't there.
For them, I don't think it's like, oh, it was just yesterday for them, because they will have desecrated in the tomb. So they will have felt the passage of time, but they from their point of view, it's almost they've been tortured for, because I think they know it's been 100 years. So they will have felt like they've been tortured for 100 years, as opposed to it was just yesterday. If that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. But it's like the last thing that happened to them. Like nothing's gone on. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing's gone on since.
Because Frederick is like, oh, it's the Salvatore's fault we were caught. Is it?
No, it was Stefan's fault that Catherine was caught.
That's what
but
I
it
thought.
Wasn't the Salvatore's, unless he's blaming Giuseppe, because it was like Giuseppe and Jonathan Gilbert.
But I felt like he was blaming Stefan and Damon personally.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think he just got it wrong.
he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Also with Pearl, so like Pearl wants to buy her shop back. That's part of the storyline for this, and Jenna owns the store. So why does Pearl want the same store that she had 150 years ago? And how do the Gilberts own it? Is my big question.
I assume the Gilberts own it, because I assume when Pearl was caught, they like took over all the old vampire, like all the vampires. I feel like they probably divvied up their possessions with the founders.
Awful, like very colonizery.
Oh,
like they arrest them, they take their possessions and their land, and then they're making her buy it back. Reparations for that.
Honestly.
Christ, awful. But on why she wants it back, why are the tomb vampires still in Mystic Falls?
Just leave. There's a big wide world out there.
they're all referring to it as their home, and it's just like, but it's not,
but it's,
though.
It's
also
not their home. They weren't there for very long.
And we've seen in a flashback that Pearl tells Catherine they want to leave soon, so they were planning on leaving anyway.
I don't get what it is. This town has a pull. I think it's magnetic. People can't go.
But like, why would you want to be there, like, with all the other vampires? Like, just from a practicality point, eventually you're going to run out of people.
I just feel, and I don't think the show ever does it, but there's some supernatural thing that forces people to be in Mystic Falls. It's like, there's like one terrible Batman comic where they reveal that the reason Gotham is so awful is because there's an evil supernatural bat that lives under the city, and that's the reason why everyone in Gotham is terrible. And I'm like, there must be some supernatural demon living in Mystic Falls that means when these vampires come, they don't want to leave, because it's crazy.
It's like the Hellmouth in Sunnydale and Buffy, yeah. And that kind of thing, yeah. There must be, because why else? But like, Lexi never had the pull. She was like, why are you in Mystic Falls? It's an awful place to be.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
No. Also, we know that Anna met Catherine. Like, Catherine's left Mystic Falls. Yeah. She hasn't come back. So like,
the only person that should want to stay in Mystic Falls is Anna. And therefore, I would understand if Pearl wanted to stay because Anna did. But that's not the case. Why are all these other vampires wanting to hang around? They've got new haircuts. See the world with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's so much to see when you've been stuck in a tomb for 150 years. And also, it's like, Frederick's clearly not happy with the rules that Pearl's laying down. So like, he doesn't have to stay in that house.
Yeah, just go. Explore the world, honestly.
Do we want to, on that, like, do we want to wrap up that the tomb vampire?
Yeah.
As in, we can talk all through the tomb vampires, yeah, yeah. And we can get to the other bit.
Yeah, yeah. What else do they do?
Oh, it was just like Frederick breaking the rules. And so he goes out.
Yeah.
He and his friend, who I don't think she ever gets a name.
Beth Ann, I think.
Ah, Beth Ann. They sneak out, they go to the grill, and they bump into Elena, and he's an idiot and calls her Catherine.
Well, I don't think he's been properly briefed that there's someone running around who looks just like Catherine.
That is fair, yeah.
Oh, he then also has a terrible interaction with Jenna, where she breaks the heel, and then he like kind of flirts with her, breaks her other heel, and then tries, I think, yeah, he's trying to like eat her. But tries to compel her, and she has absolutely none of it. And he comes across very creepy, but I enjoy it when Jenna laughs in his face and leaves.
Oh, same. Yeah.
And we find out Jenna has Vervain perfume, and I'm like, that is a good way to make sure you're... I'm more likely to use the same perfume every day than to wear the same necklace every day if I didn't know what was happening.
No, I think that's true. Right, yeah, because it's like, you guys give me a necklace for my birthday. I love it. I'm not currently wearing it right now.
What?
Like, our age.
Ellie, we said don't take it off. We said you have to wear it.
But that's the thing. Like, I'd be like, guys, that's a bit weird if you were just like making me wear something like every day.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Perfume. Yeah, I do agree. It's a lot smart. And then they break into the Salvatore house, don't they?
Yeah, I do. Like, that is being pointed out this episode multiple times, how stupid it actually was for Damon to kill Zach.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, you see it with the tomb vampires. I think what they've got with Miss Gibbons is really smart. Like, they're compelling her, and she will only let in who they want let in. Like, she's never gonna invite Stefan and Damon into the house.
Well, could they not compel her? So if a vampire tries to compel someone who's already been compelled, who wins?
I think it depends on the wording, but I think if it's the exact same compulsion the original one holds, no? So if it's like, if she was compelled, don't let anyone in unless we say so, I think that will hold if someone else asks to invite her in. But I think if they do something like, you know, I feel like it's probably quite dependent on the words that's used, because there might be ways around it. Yeah.
But the Salvatores have no protection, so anyone can go into that house and does.
So stupid.
Yes, the idiots.
And Stefan's no match for either. I feel like Damon's just doing this fight by himself, pretty much, because Stefan at the very beginning is fairly useless.
But he's the one that kills Beth Ann.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, he's just kind of like knocked down.
And And he sees them and he's like, oh, they're from 1864. Once again, Stefan Salvatore does not forget a face.
But also, he has no clue what's going on. Like, this whole episode, this episode and the last episode, the two vampires are up and at it. Damon knows. And I think this is the first time Stefan's like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that Damon didn't reveal it to Stefan until he had to. It was such like a brother who'd been like caught misbehaving. He was trying to get away with it.
But then Frederick goes back to Pearl and like, oh, we shouldn't have left. And you think she's just going to give him a drink. And I love it. Pearl just like stabs him, which I think it was a long time coming.
Oh, definitely. It was so satisfying. He's such a dick.
I also like that Pearl's a classy lady and she drinks her blood out of a wine glass. And what I wanted to do is, we have someone here who's very picky about what they drink what from. So Alice, what glass are you drinking blood from?
You know what? A wine glass is pretty good. I do like a wine glass. I do also quite like the little tumblers that the Salvatores sometimes use. I think they're quite good. But I think Pearl's got to win.
Okay. Mm.
Wine glass, red wine, kind of like the same vibe.
Bella Swan in Twilight has it in a sippy cup, doesn't she?
That's because it's like pre her being a vampire and it's like she doesn't want to see it. That's the worst one, I think.
Yeah. With a straw.
But like, didn't Lexi have it out like straight out of a blood bag with a straw?
Yeah, I like when they do that. It's like when you get like a frozen, you get one of those like frozen cocktails, like the Capri Sun pouches.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So good.
I think we have to talk about the main plot of the episode now.
Yes. Yeah, we do. Sorry. I was like, let's just wrap up the two.
You're so right.
Let's just wrap up. We're done now. That's it.
I mainly wanted to get to the point of Pearl stabbing Frederick. I loved it.
So good.
That was all I wanted to talk about with the two vampires.
I know we do have to get to the main crux of the episode, but can we do one other side plot?
Yeah.
Jeremy Nana.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, let's do that. just don't want to talk about the double date.
So Jeremy has realized, since he kissed Anna, I think he knows something about vampires, so he's looking into vampire stuff online. Get it? He's called Vamp Jer, that's his username. And he's trading blows with Bloody Becky, Fang 69, and You Suck.
Yep. Guys, we need to ask, what would your vamp username be on this chat room?
Oh God,
I had two questions, we've done them back to back.
Oh God. Okay, I would do something Buffy the Vampire Slayer related, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's tricky.
While you're pondering, Al, I'm just like, can we talk about also the chat? Because it's like, Brad Pitt turned me. And like, how did you become a vampire? And it's like, drinking the blood of Paula Abdul. But the bit that Jeremy's like, you're a believer, is like, with a stake. But that's just such the basic. It's like, it's in every vampire like thing ever, is that you kill them with a stake. So why does that then convince Jeremy that that person is like a believer?
I thought Alice was going to respond to you.
I'm sorry, no.
Did you think so too?
Yeah. But I think Alice is still thinking about her name.
I am.
She's really stressed
I'm
about
sorry,
it.
I'm not involved in this chat because I...
Okay, we'll keep talking. You have a little think.
I feel like it would be a vampire pun and I need to think of a good pun.
Okay.
But it's got to be a pun.
A pun on like vampire or blood or like just any pun.
Any pun.
Maybe mine would be bad blood, because maybe I'll make it Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I've taken that. What would yours be, Catherine?
So we had Bloody Becky. Maybe I'd be like Killer Kathy.
Oh, love that.
Oh God. We can also talk about, well, Al has a little thing. We can talk about Jeremy's hair. Because it's getting out of hand, do you not think?
I'm quite done with Jeremy and everything, like his whole style. They're just making him too emo-y.
But it's not even like, I understood the choice they were making, even if I didn't support it, I understood the choice they were making when he had the flat, sad hair. But now it's like a weird middle part with two bits swooping either side. And I cannot comprehend where they're going with this.
Was that a style trend in 2010?
Not in my world.
I'm just trying to think, like, were there any celebrities? Because like his original hair was quite like Justin Bieber-y, wasn't it? And Matt's was very Justin Bieber-y. So I'm trying to work out if there was someone that they were like taking that style from.
All I can think is like Leo in the 90s, but that's way too early, and he looked so much better because he had like a you know, like Titanic, like he had a part in swoopy hair, like that's similar-ish.
But I must be like someone from a, like, I don't know, a My Chemical Romance or a Green Date, like that type of vibe, because that's the kind of character that they're trying to get Jeremy to be. I don't understand, because I don't, they all had like spiky like punk hair, that's not very.
All right, Al's back.
I can't. I've got one that's terrible. It's the only thing I can think of. It's like bloody Chalice, and then it's like Alice, but it's not good.
Chalice?
Bloody. Okay,
sorry.
Well done.
I'm sorry. Do you know what that really makes me think? Not even because like Chalice is obviously a word and Alice is obviously your name, but you know, like the trends of like private school boys who would make really weird nicknames based on someone's name. That's what, like, Chalice as a nickname for you is what it makes like, me think that they've done.
100%. Yeah, god. Have you ever seen the Greg Davies stand-up where he talks about nicknames?
No.
Oh, it's so funny. I won't go through all of them, but he goes through like the nicknames at his school. But one of them was like Chinese Dave or something, because he wore a hat once. That was then his name forever. Or another one was Bad Back, because one time he said he had a bad back. They called him Bad Back for 5 years.
It is so weird, the nicknames that stick for people.
Honestly, that men giving each other nicknames and then their commitment to the bit is outstanding.
Yeah.
There's been so many names that we could call each other that we don't. Oh, now I'm going to call Alice Chalice.
Chalice forever.
Chalice, that's going to stick.
Bloody Chalice, shortened to Chalice.
Oh no, Bloody Chalice when she's annoying. It's like, oh, Bloody Chalice.
Absolutely.
What have I done? I feel like we immortalise our nicknames more in written form.
Yeah, that's true.
This is really ominous. I think you mean our group chat, yeah?
I mean more in group chat. Sorry, that's our group chat names have stuck for years.
I think Catherine's is my favourite.
Princess of Genovia. I love it.
Yeah. That is the best one.
Oh, I like Al's. Al's is Sorry, Am I in the Way? Which is
way. Oh, yeah.
The title of her autobiography.
Oh, absolutely.
That is so true. Yeah. Sorry, Am I in the Way? So cute.
We should talk about Jeremy and Anna.
Okay, sorry, yes.
So they then... I think then we have the big calling out scene. Yeah? Anna comes around for... tea, I don't know.
And Jeremy once again slices his hand on a hand.
I agree.
No, it's just because we don't like that.
No. Sorry, I can't remember if we've said this on the podcast, but we have strong problems when anyone needs to cut themselves to slice their palm open. It's a crazy place to pick, because like that you have to use it every day, and like it will hurt so much, and it will keep reopening.
So many tendons and nerve, and like I feel like it's a dangerous place to chop.
Also, I swear it's always when they need to do like a lot of blood, and I swear you can't get that much blood from the palm of your hand. So like, what is the point?
As I've said before, bum or thigh, Jeremy should have dropped his trousers and done a little cut on his bum.
Yeah.
I don't know why the show didn't take that obvious choice.
I know, I think that would have been a great look. But yeah, sorry. So yeah, Jeremy cuts himself. And I just think he's such an idiot. Like, I know Anna's like quite a controlled vampire, but like he... doesn't know that, like he really
he
risked
knows
his own life
nothing
then.
He knows kill them with a stake, and I think that's it. Why is
he knows that mystic that bodies are appearing drained of blood,
yeah,
and he's like,
why
please
does he
feed
think
on
the
me
wise choice,
honestly.
Oh, he's so dumb. But we have, you know, he knows definitively about vampires now, and he knows that they are out there,
and he wants to be one. Like, yeah, he wants to be turned
wild.
Knowing nothing.
He knows nothing.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we've kind of left Vicky alone for a long time, and you know, she's been like offhandedly mentioned in the last episode, but we see kind of the significance that she had at the beginning coming back to the forefront, because the reason Jeremy wants to turn, the reason he wants to know about vampires, is because he thinks that Vicky has become a vampire and that maybe he could find her again, is kind of what's implied.
Yeah, I wrote down that I think it's still so sad that, like, despite Damon's compulsion, like, Jeremy is very lost still without Vicky. And I think this shows the danger of, like, Elena thinking that she helped Jeremy, but he still clearly has this, like, trauma that he can't work out because he doesn't have the pieces together.
I mean, it would have been very hard for her to predict that he would have found a new vampire girlfriend and asked him to her to turn him. That's quite a difficult jump to make, but you are right, like, clearly the trauma is still there, and trauma makes us do things that aren't logical, such as wanting to be a vampire.
He would have thought that Jeremy's next girlfriend would be a vampire, but the Gilberts, they've got a thing for vampires.
Evidently.
I think we do have to talk about the double date. Oh god, how do we feel about this storyline? Matt and Caroline go on a double date with Stefan and Ellie.
I mean, maybe we needed a bit of teen drama, but I think they over dramatized this hopped on about story that we've heard so much about already. I don't know,
like, we've had the Caroline feels insecure about Matt and Elena's past, and she feels like second choice again and again and again, and we're having it today.
Yeah, I also think this episode is meant to really hammer home, like, the bond between Caroline and Matt, and I think it does the opposite.
I think we've still got the same thing that we spoke about before of the, like, the Kelly Caroline dynamic. So, like, Caroline's insecure about that, understandably, because Kelly's awful to her, and Matt's like, you're not making it easy, you're not particularly nice to her.
She's been nothing but nice. She's always like, hello, Mrs. Donovan.
Yeah, she's nothing but nice to Kelly's face, and I think it's very fair if she wants to have a little moan behind her back because the woman's horrible to face. And also, from my point, I thought, as you've said, Catherine, like, we've done this storyline, so in my point of view, I'm really confused why in the hallway, you know, where Matt and Caroline are having that, like, kind of argument about Kelly, where Matt stops and watches Elena and Stefan kiss goodbye, like, he's still pining. I thought we'd gotten rid of that, like, 5 episodes ago. I don't know why we're back in piney Matt's
break stage. Up with him if he's gonna openly stare at his ex-girlfriend with longing when she makes out with her boyfriend. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, why do you want to be with him? Especially when he's treating you really badly and not standing up for you. And I know we've discussed reasons why it's difficult for him, but he's, like, actively saying that Caroline's making the situation worse.
When Kelly's not there, I can't comprehend what I talked around why he felt he couldn't confront his mum, but there is no reason why he isn't, you know, more helpful of Caroline, at least to her, when they're talking about the situation. Unless he just is, I guess if I was to really, really try and think about it, I think he's actively rooting for his mom to stay. Like, he's trying to get her a job and stuff, and he doesn't want to rock the boat. But you can still, like, be like, yes, she is awful to you.
Yeah, I do think I did feel really sorry for Matt when he's, like, trying to, like, get his mum employed and being like, there's a job here, I've spoken to them. It's like, Matt shouldn't have to be doing that.
Yeah, so I was going to say, clearly Ben was very important to the grill and irreplaceable. Because they're trying to fill his bartender position.
Yeah, they're desperate. They'll take anyone. They'll take Kelly. But yeah, also when it's suggested, this double date, I think it says so much about Elena's opinion of Matt and Caroline's relationship when she thinks it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And it's like, from her point of view, she knows that Matt still has feelings for her, and she maybe believes that Caroline is a rebound, and she's happy to let her best friend, or like one of her best friends, do this.
Yeah, I think it's really telling that she doesn't want to do it. I think, especially when all she talked about was like getting back into kind of like teen stuff, and the first thing that suggested, she's like, no.
Do you think, because at the end Matt's like, oh, it's a test, did I pass? Do you think it was a test? Because I thought Caroline, when she first asked them on the double date, I thought she was like facing the issue head on and trying to work past
I don't think it was like I don't think it was a subliminal test. I think it was like, let's just go out, clear the air, have a nice time.
Yeah, and also even if Matt thought it was a test, the steps he was taking to pass was ridiculous, if you ask me.
If it was a test, did he pass? No. He failed abysmally.
It only became a test when Matt and Elena started acting like they were still dating at points.
It was the weirdest dynamic. Like, why would you ever... Like, I know it's like, oh, they're friends. They've got, like, a lot of fun memories together and they're doing those jokes. But, like, you would never behave that way on a double date.
Yeah, one story... I'm not saying you can't tell stories about your past, especially if they're relevant to the conversation. But it made it, like, a trip down memory lane in the sense of, like, they'd keep going on and on. Oh, and do you remember this? And do you remember this? And that's not a conversation for four people. That's a conversation for two people.
Also, like, Matt's comment about making out in the sports car, that was, like, that's not, like, funny. That was weird.
When he's like, oh, it wasn't hard to make out in the sports car with Elena. And what really frustrated me, actually, is Caroline quite rightly was upset about that. But because Stefan was so cool and didn't care, it looks like Caroline's being irrational by reacting her way, because, like, obviously Stefan doesn't have a problem with it.
But I think that's because also Stefan knows that Elena's not into Matt, whereas Matt is into Elena. I think, yeah, it makes there's so much stuff here where it makes Caroline, like, even in the grill when she talks to Elena, and Elena was like, oh, we're just making small talk, like, big deal. It meant to be like, yeah, there's no big deal here. But I'm kind of on Caroline's side. Yeah, maybe I wouldn't have stormed off, but it's not fun to just listen to that.
Yeah.
I'm 100% with Caroline this, like, whole episode. And I think Elena calling her ridiculous. And I can't remember what Caroline said, but there was something where it's like, I'm always second choice. Like, it's with you. She says something like, she's a rebound. And then it makes a comment to Bonnie. And Elena doesn't comfort her about the rebound.
She's like, I'm Matt's Elena backup. I'm your Bonnie backup. And Bonnie's Elena backup. So, like, she's everyone's second choice. And Elena's just like, oh, it's not relevant to bring Bonnie into this. I just can't believe your friend is, like, telling you her insecurities quite directly. And you're just like, why are you talking about this?
Yeah, like, why are you bringing Bonnie up? Now it's about me and Bonnie. That's what she says. And it's just like, you clearly think, you know that that's true, or you think it's true, and you're not trying, and you're being like, you're being ridiculous, rather than actually saying, no, I see what you're saying, or I understand why you feel this way.
And I just, because that was also after Matt's comment about making out. Matt doesn't go after Caroline at all to try and comfort her. He just apologizes to Stefan, which, I mean, fair, he should, but he should also, far more importantly, apologize to Caroline. And then, like, when they do get in the car, he's like, he's just not even sympathetic, really.
And, like, the framing of the show is really that, like, these things don't matter. And that's why Elena's kind of brushing it off, because she knows about vampires and, like, people are dying and stuff. So they're like, you're kind of meant to be, as the audience, like, oh, this is so unimportant. But you've got to remember from Caroline's point of view, because she's been forced to forget everything, these things do really matter to her. And I do kind of think we're not meant to see it from her side. We're meant to see it from the side of, like, oh, come on, Caroline, you're being ridiculous. Like, this person is just killed. And you're like, why doesn't my boyfriend like me more?
Yeah, and, like, Elena makes that comment to Stefan when she's like, oh, if it's not vampires, it's girlfriends.
Oh,
and it's like,
God.
You are...
I put...
awful.
Ha ha ha, women are so irritating. It's so hard to be friends with girls. They're just so dramatic. Good thing I'm not like other girls.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, the way that Elena treats, the way Elena and Matt treat Caroline in this whole episode.
Caroline's meant to be one of her best friends. Like, she's got two friends in this show that we really see, Bonnie and Caroline. That's it. And she doesn't even seem to value one of them, if not both of them.
I did like one scene in the double date, which was the Stefan and Matt, when, like, Matt basically calls Stefan out for being a little rich boy.
Yeah,
I thought Stefan was quite charming when he was like, oh, I hate that guy.
Yeah, Stefan owned it. I enjoyed Stefan in that scene as well. I thought that was that was good. He took it on the chin.
Yeah, it this bit is, well, not that bit, but, like, the bit with the car, I think, also really sums up, like, how guys become friends. They need one common interest, and then suddenly,
oh, absolutely, like, they're having a great
best friends.
You're so right, actually. But they already had football, but they needed another one. Don't you think as well, like, Stefan could fix the car, but he gave Matt some busy work so Matt would feel, like, useful?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he fixed it in, like, 2 seconds. Like, that's no way that was feasible. Like, let's just... all reality of that went out the window. But that's so true.
Unless he'd, like, prepped it. Stefan was like, I'll put one bolt out of place and give it to Matt.
Interspersed with their double date, sorry, is we have the adult Mystic Force. Jenna, Damon, and Kelly, so the people that are responsible for Three Quarters While Double Date getting hammered at the grill.
Also, poor Jenna is a third wheel from the off. She says hi to Kelly, and they kind of invite her to join them, but they've already been flirting, like Kelly and Damon. So Jenna, I think, from the off, is like enjoying it, having fun.
I think they've invited Jenna to join. She wanted. That's the vibe got, but Jenna wasn't into it.
Oh yeah, I think Damon's up for anything. My big question is, how are Jenna and Kelly friends?
They're really different ages, right?
Yes. Because Jenna's more like, she's closer to like Elena and Matt.
I'm tempted to say they're also not, I think they're different in age, but I don't think that as he, my gut is also like, Kelly was quite a young mum.
So, but, okay, so we know that Jenna's 26. So say if Kelly had Matt at 20, then she's 37. Yeah, and she was her babysitter.
Yeah.
So like 18 to 8. But when did they go out then? When did they start drinking together?
Yeah, because it's only been 5 years that Jenna has I mean, we see that they all do loads of underage drinking anyway.
Was Kelly just like drinking with, was she drinking with 17-year-olds? When she was like a mum of two?
I think so. Yeah. But like, so I guess Damon would as well.
Yeah.
But Damon's not a mum of two.
No.
That we know of.
Jen is the only one like concerned by the kids seeing them drinking as well, which like, fair enough, obviously Damon wouldn't care.
Yeah
Damon's like, they've seen me do worse things. And I guess also like it's a regular thing for Kelly, because in the last episode Matt had to take her home drunk from the grill, so God. I guess she doesn't really care.
Matt does have a bad home life, and like, we talk a lot of shit about him, but he does have it pretty rough.
Yeah
at the beginning when he's like, can you not bring the party home, and like, I think the neighbors would appreciate it. It's like,
but the kids spot quite clearly Kelly and Damon when they're getting with each other at the Salvatore house.
So they come back into the Salvatore house. It's bad. Poor Matt. I do go poor Matt.
Yeah, but I was wondering, because it's Matt and Caroline coming back in and seeing it. Where was Stefan and Elena during this whole thing?
Having a
they
stroll?
Love in the Salvatore house, because I think they cover it from so many angles. To have so many people always walk in from different doorways. Like, no one ever. If two characters have to enter a scene, they never enter from the same place. They always like come from different directions.
No. But like, yeah, I was just like, what were they doing? Because they could have broken up Kelly and Damon. Obviously, it's like for the story that like Matt finds them. But I was just like, where were they during this point?
Oh God. And Matt has a really, I agree with the sentiment, but the way the actor delivers the line is so cringy, where he's like, I'm the kid, mum. You're supposed to be responsible for me.
He's not the best actor, is he? But like, but it's true, like Matt shouldn't have to be doing everything.
And another mum getting with Damon. He's just collecting them off.
He really is.
No, but like, from the perspective of the relationship chart, I know we'll get onto this, but like, Damon is Caroline's ex-boyfriend as far as Matt's concerned. Matt is now dating Caroline, and then his mum is getting with his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend.
Do you think Kelly knew that he dated Caroline, or did she just not care?
No.
I don't think she knew or cared. Like, I don't think she maybe did know, because she's just come back into town. But I also think if she had known, she'd have done it anyway.
Yeah, because she just finds Damon sexy. She made a comment that like Damon drowning his sorrows was sexy, and I was like, that's like the least sexy thing in the world. It's just like this guy by himself getting drunk because he's upset.
I wrote, Kelly, just get therapy. don't do this. And then we end the episode. How do we end it? It's a Damon and Elena, Stefan and Elena call, and I was like, why are they calling each other? They just saw each other. And you just see like Damon in the background dealing with the body, and then they just hang up without any like goodbye.
They don't say bye. Yeah, it's just because Elena's trying to prove that not everything has to be. She doesn't need a chaperone, and she can drive herself home. And it's like, my goodness, you're not such a damsel in distress.
And then the final scene is one we've already touched on, but Jeremy's saying he wants to be turned. It's like the very final scene.
Don't you think it's crazy that in the last episode we learn of a magic ring who brought a character back to life, and then it's not mentioned at all?
Nor does that character appear.
What the fuck?
It's wild.
do you think Stefan's told Elena that Rick has a magic ring? Do you think Elena's aware of this?
I don't think Elena's even aware that he died.
Okay. Does Damon know he's alive?
I don't think
no,
so.
I don't.
Because Damon leaves Stefan to tidy up the body, which is ridiculous. Like, this goes back to my point from last episode that, like, the stuff that Stefan lets Damon get away with, he's, like, just cleaning up all the corpses.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm keen to see that reveal when we see Damon and, like, Rick together, what happens there.
So I think it's time to move on to Stat.
Pause, how's your battery life?
We'll do it and wrap up and we'll be good. So every episode we are keeping track of all the relationships, all the deaths, the number of kills each character makes, and all the times character comes back to life, so we can get into the numbers behind Vampire Diaries. So what are we adding this week?
Kelly and Damon.
So I haven't prepped this, but if we add Kelly and Damon, we are joining yet another parent to child. So I think we've got a shorter distance. So we go Kelly to Damon to Caroline to Matt. So that's only three connections. So we've beaten our four. This might be as low as we can go.
Oh, God. Yeah. I really hope it's as low as we can go.
I don't think it is in the future.
Unless a parent. Yeah, the only way we can go.
No, we'll have, look, not on the pod, but we'll have, well, as in we'll cut this out, but we'll have.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh yeah, of course we will.
Okay. Oh, that's foul. Okay.
Of course we will. That's disgusting. Okay.
So that's our main relationship add. And then kill count, what are we adding?
Stefan.
Yeah.
Kills Bethan.
Just one for Stefan, which brings Stefan's total to 4 and our total to 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're powering through.
Yeah.
So trivia for this episode. Stefan claimed that in 1972 him and Hugh Hefner went on a double date with twin playmates and that he got Miss June, but Miss June was Debbie Davis, who did not have a twin sister, so that was a lie that he told.
Do you think he was just trying to look cool?
Yeah, it's trying to be cool hanging out with known pervert Hugh Hefner.
I mean, it's true.
So I also have a review from The Time. So this is from Heroine TV, who said, "If nothing else, this episode will always be remembered as the one in which Pearl poked Damon's eyes out and the one in which Matt and Stefan began their beautiful friendship."
Would we say Matt and Stefan's friendship is beautiful? Is that the word you guys would use?
Absolutely
to describe
not.
It?
No.
And just because it's just a crazy thing to be saying. Also, I wouldn't say this is how this episode is remembered, but, you know, each to their own.
Also, just on the point of Matt and Stefan's friendship, let's never forget that Stefan killed Vicky.
Yeah. So, right, that needs to be remembered always.
Like,
and then I just wanted to say, because we talked, Jeremy had something to do this episode. I looked into Stephen McQueen, who plays Jeremy, and I always was like, isn't it odd that he has the same name as the very famous actor, Steve McQueen? Like, surely you wouldn't want to have the same name as that person because you'd get confused. And then I realized that that's his grandfather. So he is a Nepo baby, which is maybe how he got into the industry, thinking about his skill level.
Interesting.
Yeah. It makes a little bit of sense.
Wow. I see that.
Yeah.
I need to wrap this up. Yeah. So this is all from us for this week, I think. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, if they want to get in touch, if people want to reach out, share your thoughts on the episodes, what can they do?
They can reach us on Twitter at Miss Mystic Pod.
Or Instagram on Missing Mystic Fools Pod.
Perfect. You can also leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. Only 5 stars, please. And we will be back next week. Bye.
Bye.